podcast. We've reached the quarter century mark. This is number 25. Colin, are you excited about that?
Seems like just yesterday we were working on number 24, you know?
Yep. Well, just yesterday, like 2 weeks ago, but same thing.
Come a long way.
Yep, we're getting there. Guess I can get some things started. I have a slap and tickle I really have been wanting to tell you about for a while, but I wanted to save it.
Okay, those are always the good ones. We do discuss some things beforehand. I think maybe dish out some of our funnier lines just to see if we find them funny, and then we try to recreate the magic live. But all right,
so my first one is Mike Stanton. I'm not sure if he's a former baseball player or something, but he works for MLB Network.
Okay.
And he does, I don't know if he just does radio, but the night Cabrera won the MVP, my sister and my mom were listening in the car on the radio to the MLB radio network or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And according to my sister, Mike Stanton said, when Cabrera, he sucked it up and moved to third base. He didn't complain a lot. He didn't go over and crush all of Jim Leland's cigarettes. He might have wanted to, but he didn't. I don't know exactly how he said it, but apparently he made a reference to Miguel Cabrera crushing Jim Leland's
actually used the term.
Yeah. Said he might have wanted to, but he didn't. So I was pretty impressed that he used that.
Have you tweeted at him?
Mm-mm.
Can we sue him? Did we ever copyright that, or what's the term?
Well, see, here's where we get into problems, because we also have been saying take or sleazy for years, and the Workaholics pulled that out last season, or
and they
two
stole
seasons
that
ago.
From us.
They stole that when they said take it sleazy. So when we didn't do anything against them.
But didn't we steal it from Clark?
Yeah, we stole it too.
Yeah,
and
we stole it too.
I think he got it from Will Ferrell when he's the dude that's born. But so good job, Mike Stanton, for using a little creativity.
That is pretty cool.
And then another one I have real quick is our fan and my friend, Corey. I put out a tweet to, you know, if you participated in National Unfriend Day on November 17th, let us know. And he dumped 39 friends. That was very impressive. I think I dumped about 16. And the biggest reason I didn't do more, I think, is because I was doing it on my phone.
Okay.
I was just bored one day. So there's still some more I could get rid of, but there's always next year.
Did you dump Skip Bayless as a friend on Facebook?
Mm-mm. I never liked him on Facebook.
It's funny, when I first started following Skip on Twitter, I'm like, oh, well, I'll go, maybe, you know, he's got a Facebook page or whatever. And like the first 10 things when you type in Skip Bayless are all pages like, Skip Bayless is a racist.
Yeah.
Skip Bayless is an asshole.
I know. I saw that too.
All these,
people like, made all these groups to like talk about how much they hate him.
Right. Which is interesting. Did we have you put up the email exchange yet?
No, I didn't. I thought you were going to respond.
Are you waiting on my reply? Okay. Did we touch on how we kind of brought up how Colin Cowherd basically defended the mothership, ESPN, but not just to, you know, to be a good company man. Like, I thought he made some good points. So we'll finish that up. You know, maybe today I'll reply to that, finish, and we can post that kind of alongside this. But didn't really defend Skip. But basically, Cowherd just put it out there that, you know, look, we have X amount of shows. We have 5 different channels. You know, shout out to the Ocho.
Right.
You know, there's going to have to be something for everyone. All these different flavors, he said. And the fact of the matter is that some people, and I'm 100% guilty of wanting to come home really quick at lunch and just listen to Skip just sound off, saying the same crap, you know, about Tim Tebow winning a playoff game. You know, the same thing he said for a year now. I don't really want to come home, and I think I messed up in the email. I don't think it's Jeremy Shad. I think it's Jeremy Shap. We'll have to. You edit these before you post them, correct?
Yeah.
You go through and proofread and check all the quotes and the facts.
Oh yeah, 100% accuracy.
Right. But I don't want to come home and, you know, hear the slow music and, you know, watch Tom Rinaldi, you know, talk to a 3-legged marathon runner about how they've had to overcome, you know, having three legs.
Well, it's a good thing then you have only two channels to choose from, so you decide to go with what every idiot sports fan that likes Tim Tebow does, so.
I know there's nothing really on it. Well, no, now I've been, I have when I get oh.
Springer.
No, I have been then just now flipping back over to the herd on TV on like ESPN News or whatever to listen to that
Right.
read the SLB. I don't really know how we. Oh, Corey, way to go.
Yep.
Okay. Do we? So I have some. I want to give a slap and tickle to Sheed.
Oh, snap.
You seen Sheed come back?
I've read about it, but what team is he on? He's on
He's
the
on the Knicks.
Celtics, is he?
Oh, he's on the Knicks.
Really?
Yes. I'm gonna look it up just right now to make sure I'm, because I was just watching some, you know, the Knicks are maybe 9-1 or 8-2 or something, but they're just talking about how they're all just old. Kornheiser on PTI is making the joke that they prefer to play 4:30 games. The Knicks prefer to play the early bird games so that they can, you know, go to sleep a little bit earlier. But yeah, currently plays for the New York Knicks. He doesn't look, it's not one of those things where, oh, he's lost 35 pounds and he's back to, you know, he still looks pretty heavy, but he's jacking up threes,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, and making, you know, 30% of
Shouting ball don't lie and stuff like that.
them. And we just kind of forget we're really in the dredges now of Detroit Piston overall performance. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
they're about as bad as it can get. But I don't think we took it for granted. But it's just kind of sad looking back now how many good years we had with the Pistons.
I know.
And Sheed was right. One of the funniest clips, maybe we'll throw it up on the Facebook page, is when Sheed's in the middle of the group, swinging his arm
Oh,
around
yeah.
with the towel.
Getting them pumped.
Yeah, getting everyone ready. It's some of the best dance moves, and I've tried to recreate some of the
Big
dance moves.
old grin just
Yeah.
from ear to ear. Looked like
Woo!
for that 1 second, or for those few moments when he was doing that, you forgot how old he was because he just had such a big childish grin on his face.
Yep. You know, and you forget going back further than that, the Sheed had one or two run-ins with the law, which
Oh, yeah.
are well documented.
He was the founding member of the Portland Jailblazers.
Yeah, that's right. And what's funny is that I didn't know until he came to the Pistons. The only thing, I didn't follow the NBA, you know, as close as I do now.
Right.
The only time I had ever heard his name was from that Dave Chappelle bit,
Right.
where he's going through, what does he go through, the different incarnations of his career when he was, you know,
No,
really.
he talks about how when he's playing basketball, when he like makes a move on a guy and puts up a shot, and you call out, you're like Jordan, or like
Okay,
Kobe,
yeah.
and then he had all the different ones, and the two guys get caught smoking weed, and he's like Rasheed Wallace.
Wallace, yeah. So at that time, I didn't know who that was. I think I knew, okay, that's an athlete, and obviously he must enjoy marijuana. But you know, you laughed your ass off because it was a great Chappelle bit. But then when I found out we got him, I go, wait a minute, is that the guy from the Dave Chappelle bit? I'm like, okay, all
Right.
right, I guess we can get behind him. That sounds about right. Brought him to the Pistons. You know, I guess that sounds like a smart move. But we had some good years. We had, you know, and Sheed was right in the middle of it. Billups still playing. He's coming back soon for the Clippers. Clippers look good. Have you been watching any NBA at all?
I've actually watched a few Pistons games here and there
Have you?
just for the hell of it. Watched them the other night when they got their third win of the season over Toronto, who had 3 wins, so. And they beat him by 1 point, so it
Right.
wasn't like there was any big separation between them and the rest of the sorry bottom of the barrel teams.
Right. I think we were. Oh, Kima says hi.
I know, I can hear.
I think we were on the road, and my wife was just on her phone going through Facebook, and she's like, "Did the Pistons play someone really good? Because everyone on Facebook's, you know, talking about, you know, great win, big win for the Pistons." I'm
Right.
like, "No." I'm like, "They played the Raptors."
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm like, "I'm pretty sure
Not
that."
to mention, too, when they played the Raptors, they made that big old Andre Bargnani guy look like he might be the best player in the league.
No.
Put up like 30 some points on us.
So they're probably, going nowhere. What they'll do is they'll win just enough games to,
They'll get like the eighth pick in the draft.
right, and it will just kind of pitter back and forth. They don't talk about the Pistons that much down here just because they're terrible, but when they do talk about them, Dumars' name is not treated
Oh no.
very high regard. So we could see something happening there, but show some love to Sheed. What else do you
I have one
have
more
for stuff?
slap and tickle
All
that I
right.
just recently found out about.
Okay.
Do you have any access to Twitter right now on your phone or something that you can easily get on?
If you talk really quick, I can, start bringing it up.
Okay, because there's an account I recently found out about. It's called at Clueless Helen with a capital C and a capital H. And are you
Okay.
there or no?
I'm logging in right now.
Well, basically, it's a Twitter account for Helen Keller.
Oh, gosh. So,
And,
all right, Clueless Helen.
yep. And, the real gems on it are the pictures that Clueless Helen tweets, if you can get a chance.
All right, I'm there. So you're saying click on recent images?
Yeah.
This is horrible. They have a picture of her and everything. All right, hold on. I'm bringing up some.
And maybe tell the listeners what you're looking at too.
How did you stumble on this while I'm looking it up?
Someone retweeted it, and the tweet that they retweeted said, "I can't see shit."
All right. I was gonna say, because right now I have just a black image.
Well, click on it, and is there a description underneath of it? Usually, because there's a lot of pictures, they all look the same.
Okay, hold on. I'm clicking the next one. Well, the next one's a house on fire.
What's the description say?
Don't think I'll be the one cooking the turkey next year.
Yeah, there's like a few different ones. There's black, like
Oh, okay, here it is. iCarly memories.
yeah, it's
Black
like
picture.
people are tweeting stuff and there's a trending topic and they're putting pictures up or something, and those are
Christmas.
Helen Keller's pictures.
Christmas list 2012, black, or just a black screen.
Right.
Before and after Hurricane Sandy, black screen.
Right, I know. It's so messed up, dude.
There's a dartboard with not one dart
Right.
on the
Yeah.
actual dartboard. It's all around the wall, and it says, "How did I do?"
Right. So that's I gave a few shout outs over the past few weeks to the Tumblr accounts, the minorities Morning Romney dot Tumblr and the obviously the Smokin' Jay Cutler dot Tumblr. So figured I'd stay in that vein and give the slap and tickle to Clueless Helen and
Okay.
whoever the genius is that created this account.
We'll have to maybe submit some pictures to that, give them some
Right.
suggestions. Oh, I hate winter. My hands get so cold I can barely speak. Oh Oh, that's wrong. We apologize to we don't condone any of this that and the background is the dots that people who are blind have to use to read. What is that?
Braille.
Braille.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, well,
No, that's the end of my slap and tickles for this
okay.
episode.
Well, I have one more slap and tickle, and then I have something fairly bold. I told you that I was gonna break away from the mold. I was gonna propose something, fairly earth-shattering that, I haven't discussed with you yet. But before that, I want to, and for the past maybe 2 years, this guy's probably deserved a lot of flack. He hasn't really been at the top of my list of favorite people, and that's James Spader. Only because I think we can admit that when Michael left the office, that was kind of the heart and soul left. There's
Right.
still some pieces hanging around that work here or there. And I actually think this last season, newest season, has been good. I've got some good laughs out of it. Of course, James Spader isn't there this season. But remember,
Right.
he came in to play that just
Robert
blowhard Robert
California.
California. And it was funny, the character that he created, I thought was hilarious when they were doing the whole interview episode, when they were trying to interview for the new person to take over,
right?
When he came in and he was just so stuck up, smarmy, know it all, intimidated all of them. I thought it was funny at that moment, but then for that character to have drug on for an entire season,
right?
Was, and you know, he used to be a good looking chap. Do you remember him like in Wall Street?
Mm-hmm.
Remember he kind of played some pseudo leading man roles and some. He had some edgy movies out, and he was a good-looking dude. Now he's just this porpoise of a male, you know, slick back hair. Just always looks like he's breathing hard. Fairly disgusting-looking individual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, he turns up in Lincoln.
Uh-oh.
And he was probably one of the most enjoyable characters.
Really?
In Lincoln. Now, look, when I say enjoyable, he's not going to get nominated for anything.
No.
Obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis has a clause every time he signs on for a movie that he is the only person that can possibly get any recognition from that movie.
That, well, Tommy Lee Jones was really good. And who is it? Who is Forrest Gump's mom?
Sally Field. Field.
Is it Field or Fields?
Who cares?
She's harebrained, you know, Lincoln's wife,
right.
And they really show her shoulders way too much, and they're real meaty. But that's neither here nor there. It's a very strong supporting cast. I'm not good at superlatives. I mean, the movie was great. Any movie where you know what the outcome is, and you still experience this dramatic wave of emotions,
mm-hmm.
you know, during multiple climactic scenes, that's when you know it's a good movie, you know, when you know exactly what's going to happen and it still just knocks you on your ass. He was awesome. I mean, I can't really describe what it is that he does. I am very excited for, I think this is going to be an awesome Oscar year though. When you look at him, when you look at PSH and Joaquin Phoenix from The Master. Mm-hmm. I guess Denzel in that movie Flight is amazing. So there's going to be some really good, you know, best actor, best supporting actor, best film races. But James Spader plays this big old fat mustachioed pig who I think in almost every scene he's breaking
was it,
open.
Was it Howard Taft?
No. No. He plays, and I don't know the political term for it, but basically, you know, Lincoln needs to not only have the entire Republican party in the House vote for the 13th Amendment, but he also needs to secure 15 to 20 Democrat votes
right.
from the House to ensure that this the 13th Amendment passes. So the Secretary of State goes out and gets these three kind of seedy work behind the scenes guys to kind of go around and make certain offers
right.
to Democrats in order to secure the votes. And these guys are never supposed to have any contact with Lincoln. You never mention his name. Mm-hmm. This offer isn't coming from
right.
from the president. And who do they get? But just big old fat mustachio James Spader. And he is hilarious. I mean, he's just a pig in the whole movie. He's always breaking open crab legs. Or some of the first time you meet him, he's sitting there pulling back a big old tankard of, you know, ale, dribbling down his face, his mustache, slamming a big old hammer down on a crab. Something, you know, just
right.
pulling meat out of the crab. But, of course, he plays an important role, and there's a scene near the end where he just I was really impressed. When I first saw him, I just said, oh, God, he's Robert California. You know, he's just going to be an annoying, you know, thorn in the side of
right.
this movie. But
you
he came
figure
through.
He's going to have that same, like, tone, too. You know what
did.
I mean? Like he had in that movie or that show, Boston Legal, where it was basically
yep.
him and Bill Shatner, like, you know, like, going back and forth the whole time. You
yep.
know, you start seeing actors do, like, that same character and you get worried, but that's good that he realizes he's fat. So
that's the thing, is I'm cool with that now, you know, if
right.
you make that transformation and now you're just going to be, you know, a fat actor.
Well, that's the thing, is like that Robert California character, you need someone good looking, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Good looking, suave, lean guy. Instead, you get fast talking James Spader, which I'm not saying he wasn't funny or anything ever, but.
Yeah, I didn't really care for him, and I was glad when he didn't come back this year, you know, because now David Wallace is back in charge. I had completely forgotten about that at the end of last season.
Who's David Wallace? Stringer?
Remember, he used to be the CFO for Dunder Mifflin. Then they went under. Then he created the Suck It.
David Koechner?
No, he created the Suck It with his son. Suck It! Suck It! Suck It! Suck It! Remember I posted that video on someone's wall?
Not really.
So Lincoln was awesome, and it's motivated me to propose an amendment to Worst Friends.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's fairly dramatic, but I'm fairly certain that I will I will fight you to the death in order to make this change, to make this pass. I am proposing that henceforth, on November 25th, here to now, and succeeding any days here to.
Okay, we got forth, it. We got it.
I propose that from now on, we will no longer refer to the anal shank as the anal shank, but it will heretofore be referred to as the Steve Young stare.
Oh yeah, that's a wonderful idea.
How does that sound from now on?
I think it just passed in both chambers unanimously.
I think we still should have the Tyrion, which is the equivalent of a little person coming up behind you and chopping.
That's
your
like
leg
the worst
off
of the worst,
right?
Because not only is your leg getting cut off by a little person sneaking up on you, but you got to remember it's not long after that you're dead.
Right. So that's as bad as it can get. But for our regular, you know, need to give someone a shot, I don't think there's anything more terrifying or intimidating that we can do to a person to let them know that we're not happy with them and to give them the Steve Young stare.
I will say this. I was really disappointed afterwards when Steve Young was asked about that. And if you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, explain it really quick.
They were Ben Roethlisberger when he got hurt. Was it a Monday night game? It must have been because they had Stuart Scott and everyone out there.
Yep.
They were coming back from a commercial break, and they came back earlier than the on-air talent knew, and you could hear old shithead Rick Riley telling, "Hey Stuart, make sure you say that I broke the story on my Twitter account," and the camera caught everything, and you could kind of see like Stuart Scott just kind of like awkwardly looking. Trent Dilfer just
he didn't know they were back yet,
right? Trent Dilfer put his head down in shame, and Steve Young went the complete opposite way, did not care if the cameras could see him or not, and just stared down Rick Riley. Like, you could literally see lasers burning through Rick Riley's forehead. Like, it was bad.
And there was a slight pause, like, they realized that, oh my god, the camera's on, we're back. And Stu, like, kind of started talking, and Steve hesitated for a second when he's looking at the camera, then he just slowly turns.
Right, oh yeah.
And just stares.
And he walked back from it, and I was just like, dude, no. Everyone could tell that you were legitimately, because Steve Young, every once in a while, he's the one who's going to be like, all right, and bring a little sanity to the situation, tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed when he walked it back, but I think everyone knows that he was legitimately pissed off.
What did he say when he walked it back? I'm trying to, oh God, I have a picture of it right now. Tim, he looks so pissed.
I know, he just said something like, oh, you know, I was kind of making a joke out of it because I don't think Rick knew we were back or whatever. That's why I kind of gave him the little hit. But even when he gives him like the little nudge on the elbow,
tap him on the arm, like
it's not like a good one. It's like, dude, you're lucky this camera's on right now, or I would be eating your face.
here's an article that says that he was just giving Riley a bro stare.
Yeah, I know.
Rather than anything malicious.
That's what he said, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
But do we have – what's funny is that I don't know if I have anyone to give a Steve Young stare to.
Oh, no, I don't either.
Okay. So, but from here – here's the thing. When we hashtag it, do you want to do hashtag Steve Young stare or Steve Young death stare?
It's hard to say because you obviously want to save as many characters as you can.
Right.
But Steve Young stare, it doesn't really make it clear – well, I guess people will know what we're talking about.
if so you're saying that when I hashtag look how Tron is living for the city, that's too many characters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, next week we'll have someone to stare down with the force of a thousand moons.
All right. And do you have any more slap and tickles or big announcements? Because I actually have a sort of big announcement myself.
Okay.
I've made the decision,
Uh-oh.
or I think I found my next big opportunity.
Heretofore? Heretofore?
Heretofore, henceforth.
Henceforth.
Well, we're going to be talking about Walking Dead later. And if you're a fan of that show, you obviously have seen comedian and podcaster extraordinaire Chris Hardwick do his little bits. I never watched the show Talking Dead, the post show,
Neither do I.
but it exists. And I recently, as I've talked about before, I've been watching season one of Homeland, and I wrapped up the finale the other day. And for some reason, I just thought, you know, what Homeland really needs is a good post show, a
Okay.
wrap-up show. I'm thinking that we can call it maybe Bringing It Home, Land, or Welcome Home,
Land.
Land. And of
Okay.
course, I would be the host. I wrote up, you know, I haven't been watching season two, so I haven't prepared anything for any of the episodes. But here would be the intro for the first one. This is based on the season one finale.
Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bringing It Home. Tonight, we're discussing the shocking season one finale. Homeland star Damian Lewis is dropping by later to talk to us about our nation's capital, a city progressive enough that you can get cell phone reception in underground bunkers, and traditional enough that doctors there still practice barbaric, obsolete medical procedures. All this and more on Bringing It Home.
I like it.
So, I'm going to try and get that out to Showtime, let them know that I've been working on it. Obviously, this is all hypothetical, but you know, it'd just be 15 minutes or so. We'd get someone to stop by, talk about filming, or talk about the last episode. And of course, I would have a little snarky, tongue-in-cheek comment to begin every one, just like a Hardwick. So,
You should tweet at Damian Lewis there and just, you know, ask him if he wants to come on the show.
yeah.
You know, what's the worst he can, you know, he can make some, you know, joke to us about being Muslims and, you know, we can
Yeah.
laugh it off.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. What did he send a Christmas card or a thank you card to
I
the
thought it
president?
was a signed copy of Homeland, but maybe it was a card or something. But he signed it from one Muslim to another.
Tell you what, that takes balls.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I give him, you know, it. You can make the argument for it being, you know, hey, it's just a joke, you know, have a sense of humor. You can make the argument for you're telling the president of the United States that you believe he's a Muslim. You know, you can take it to both extremes, but
Right.
I haven't really heard how. I heard he tried, you know, apologizing like 20 times afterwards. Have you heard anything else about it?
No,
Like
I'm sure
apologize or
Obama
make.
didn't care. I'm sure he found it funny.
He probably passed it along to Cal Penn just to deal with the, you know, PR side of things.
I'm sure there's some far right winger out there. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Look at that. I haven't heard him talk about I haven't heard him refute that. Is he gonna refute that?
That the Tooker Gerbs guy from South Park, that voice there?
No, did it sound like it?
Hello, Gerbs.
No, that's just how I think
All
crazy
Republicans.
right-wing nut job talk, so which is pretty much on par with Gerbs, that guy, so
Gerbs. What are you gonna do now? Because Homeland's more than halfway through the second season. Are you able to use your
oh yeah,
resources?
don't
Okay.
worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about your Uncle Tim, Colin.
Okay. Well, are you gonna catch up? Because I mean, we're almost. There's been some pretty heady stuff going on, and we could easily be talking about it on this show. But
Oh, it's obviously going to be at least 2 or 2 weeks or more before I am on back on track with it or anything.
you shouldn't be surprised. Like everything else I tell you to watch, you hold out for about a year until you hear everyone else talking about how good it is, and then you jump on board. Do you
I've
find it?
also been hearing from you how good your dog Maggie is for about 4 years now, and
No,
every time it gets worse, so.
I've never made that claim. Do you find that, and I asked you this before off air, in the finale when, and hey, if anyone out there hasn't watched the first season of Homeland, suck it up. But the main character, Damian Lewis, basically straps a tailor-made bomb to his chest, no pun intended. And for whatever reason, it doesn't go off.
Right.
You already knew you knew the second season of Homeland was going on. You knew that they, won a couple Emmys. You'd seen him in promos or previews. Was a bit of the suspense taken away because you're like, well, all right, I know for whatever reason this bomb isn't going off. Do you
See, I
find?
thought that there was going to be someone who caught him, leading up to this whole thing. I'm like, someone is going to catch him and find out. And then I thought, during the phone call that he was going to get convinced otherwise, but
He still pushes that
I
button,
oh
doesn't
yeah,
he?
he still went for it. And then when he's in the bathroom, I'm like, oh, thank God, I can finally breathe, because he's just going to take this thing apart, tear it up, throw it away, and flush it down the toilet or something. Nope, he just fixes it up, gets the green light, and I'm just like, God,
Plugs it right back in.
what is gonna happen here? Someone's gotta do something.
Because that's, and I'm not doing it to brag, but watching it live, or however you want to say, I watch it with my wife, episode, new episodes. I can't remember being more puckered than watching that scene, not knowing, because all these things are going through my head. I'm like, all right, this show is doing stuff that maybe you see something crazy like this, back on 24, there were some intense scenes like this. But this show has been, I hate to, it's cliche to say pushing the envelope, but it really, every time you expected something to happen, something different happens. It never met your expectations. It exceeded them, but it never made the safe move.
I'll just
I'm
tell you
thinking.
what, man. I hope that the terrorists aren't as smart as Marine 1 and Marine 2 were during this whole bit. Because, man, everything was like, as it kept escalating, I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, they're running right in, and there's all these important people here.
I was prepared for the fact that they were going to kill off the main character, that the main character of the show was going to detonate himself. I th then thought, how ballsy would it be to just, then that's it. You have one season of Homeland. It's perhaps one of the greatest, most shocking
And it
television.
ends.
And that's it. Like, why not? Like, I'm thinking, what, how is this going to end? Because it had been taking every kind of story, any kind of line that
Right.
you think it was going to follow, it just skewed right off, did something completely different. I would have really missed Mandy Patinkin's beard if they would have just ended it there. But Saul's back, his beard is as bristled as ever. It's been a good second season. So hopefully you can, by any means necessary, catch up. Because Sunday nights, my Sunday nights are just, it's too much to handle. We have Walking Dead, Homeland, and then I'm still watching Boardwalk Empire. Those are all on Sunday nights. So it's a good thing. Do we want to talk about Walking Dead?
Well, I think that we need to mention too, Thanksgiving night, our little simultaneous satellite viewing party of The Godfather.
Yeah, we were both watching The
Just it,
Godfather.
and I won't go in a lot of detail, but man, that movie is so good. It's like I forgot like how good every scene and every actor is in it, you know what I mean?
It's one of those movies where, and you can say this about a lot of movies, but you can literally jump, you can pop in at any point, and you're given top-notch acting, writing. The directing, even though it is starting to look a little bit older as, as we watch all these new movies and watching everything now in HD and 3D and, IMAX and all this other crap. It's slightly starting to look its age, but top, no matter what scene you jump in on, you just have to watch like 10 minutes. I was kind of flipping back and forth because there's some football on my, I had to watch, for fantasy reasons, my fantasy quarterback Tom Brady did well. He did okay Thursday night. So I was kind of flipping back and forth between that. But you can just flip right back to The Godfather and just watch for 20 minutes and it'd be mesmerizing. You're just glued to the screen. And you know every scene. You know what's going to happen in every scene. You know, but it's still worth it just to.
I have a little bit of a beef with AMC, though, because I think they cut down the fight, or not the fight, the ass whooping that Sonny gives Carlo, because I didn't see him rip his shoe off and hit him with it.
Did it show him bite his
nuts?
Yeah,
it showed him biting him. Maybe I just wasn't paying that close of attention. Or maybe I remembered it being like a lot longer than it really was. I'm sure that's what it is.
Well, God knows if they are cutting stuff out, God knows it starts at 8 and ends at midnight.
Right.
You know, if you notice that, because that's what I like to, I find now I enjoy watching The Godfather 2 maybe a little bit more just because I really enjoy the De Niro scenes, mm-hmm. kind of watching those a little bit more closely now.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, great, The Godfather's on. They got to be. When's Godfather 2 on? And like, I look, it's like midnight.
Yeah.
She's AMC. You know, you can't cut the commercials down just a little bit. Maybe, you know, I know it's a 3-hour movie to begin with.
Oh,
but,
I know.
Yeah, there's what can you say
but
about
it? It was just funny because, like, sometimes I'd start texting you something, and it's like a text would come in from you on the same thing or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just cracking up. I was tweeting stuff about it. Like, oh, here comes one of the best ass whoopings ever to be filmed. But man, it was so good, man. Just like that Homeland finale too. I'm glad I got to revisit The Godfather and then see that finale.
What do you, which one do you like more? The first one or the second one, Godfather?
I've seen the first one a lot more, mm-hmm. so I can remember it a lot better. But, I mean, I really like them both. And I kept getting mixed up. I was like, oh, this is where he says this to so-and-so. And I was like, oh, no, that's right. That's in the second one. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I'd see something, I was like, huh, I always thought that this happened in the second one. So, I mean, I'm more familiar with the first one, but I'm sure if I watched the second one again, I'd be like, oh, man, it's the greatest movie ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, I lean a little bit more towards the second one. That's recently, I think I've it's because the old scenes, you know, with old De Niro, just the subtle way that Vito just right. built up his influence within. Because I think that's something that you could go in a million different directions with, you know, okay, how did, you know, this young man eventually become the, but it was in such a subtle little way that still to this day doesn't really make that much sense to me. Like how he just tells his friends, you know, look, just, you know, give me some of your money. I'll go right. and tell them this is all we're going to give them. And then that's it. Basically telling them, you know, look, I'm going to take care of this for you. And then I guess you have to do everything I tell you to do. Again, I'm sure some of it's buried within the beneath the Italian, some form of Italian.
Well, you're
tradition.
Irish, so they really try and keep you at arm's length. I mean, we even saw Michael in Godfather 1 when he takes over. One of the first things he's doing is trying to push Tom Hagen out.
Yeah, it just keeps him on the business. Needs to be handle the legitimate side.
He's going to be their lawyer, but he's mm-hmm. not going to be conciliary.
Yep. That poor Tom. I know, he does take that personally, too.
Well, man, I would be pissed. I'm surprised Vito let that fly. Then again, he was going to be conciliary.
Yeah. So. I remember Vito signed off on it, you know.
But they're all stomping and kicking him in the nuts. You're not a wartime conciliary, Tom.
Yeah.
I was like, geez, man. We know that they go through a war every 5 or 10 years. Clemenza said that you have to.
Yeah.
It's so casual. These things happen every 5 to 10 years. They got to.
Yeah.
They have to. I was like, geez.
But doesn't Abe Bogota look the exact same then?
I know.
As
he looks the same even in Good Burger. If we want to talk about how far he's fallen. But, yeah, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen The Godfather, you're honestly missing out on just a great, great movie. Mm-hmm. So, check it out.
People, you know, I think the people that haven't watched, because I can tell you right now, my wife hasn't seen any of them. But I think you find that maybe with more females.
Are they going by Peter Griffin? Because he didn't care for it, so they just assume that
Well, I mean, Peter believed that it insisted upon itself.
Right.
It's
Which maybe it does.
insisting.
I had a couple other things I wanted to do before we got to The Walking Dead. I'm gonna skip one.
Okay.
I'll just mention this really next this one next next one really quickly, because we're talking about some Italian actors, and this is something that's popped up. Just wanted to know what you thought about it. That new movie coming out, Killing Them Softly, with Brad Pitt, Leota, and James Gandolfini in it. I'm not positive what it's about. I think they're like hitmen or something. At one point in the trailer, Brad Pitt's like, "I prefer to kill them softly." I'm like, ah, he
I
said it.
said it.
So it just, but I mean, looking at the clips and stuff, I see Gandolfini screaming at Brad Pitt, and Leota's kind of walking around. I think it shows him getting punched in the face at one point or something.
His face
So,
is looking ever so more like a catcher's mitt.
yeah. But I mean, you got those three on screen. I can't remember some of the other supporting cast, but it looks like it might be decent. So.
It is. I think the problem, at least with me now, is like I barely got to go see Lincoln. Like I had a plan for a week just to go see Lincoln. I've heard that Argo was really good. I haven't got to see it. Flight's supposed to be really good. I haven't got to see it.
Right.
I wanted to even just, for a fun movie, I want to go see the James Bond movie. I thought it looked,
I've
pretty
heard it's
sweet.
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Bond guy, so
No, but
I have no feelings about it, but I heard it's really good.
yeah, haven't gotten to see that. So I mean to say that, yeah, it looks really good. Do I think I will go watch it? Probably not. We got the new Lord of the Rings movie. We had the Hobbit.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because
You
I'm
know, we got to
watching
go
these
see that.
trailers. Yeah, we're gonna have to go see it. I'm watching these trailers and I'm already saying, I don't care what it's filmed like. We mentioned that before. I don't care how it's gonna be filmed. I'm gonna see that movie. You know what I mean?
I think we have to, just because we watched, I went and watched all of them, like extended in theaters, first weekend, that they were out, went to see all of them. And I guess there is an element of, I feel like I was so much younger back then when I watched those. Like it almost feels like, man, I was just like a kid. But I kind of reacted to the Lord of the Rings like, a kid. We were like in our early 20s,
Right. Well, I saw the first one, the first time I saw the Fellowship of the Rings, like even it was on a movie channel or something before Return of the or Two Towers was out in theaters. They were like, playing it on TV. I don't know if it was HBO or something. I'm like, oh, I'll just watch this. Of course, it's like 3 hours long, but I'm like, I got nothing to do. I'll just check it out. And I mean, I was hooked right away. And obviously, the next two I saw like opening weekends.
Right, just went
The
to.
final two.
So there's that. So I probably want to see that. So we'll, I guess if over the holidays, like if I had some downtime and that Killing Them Softly was out and I had already seen, but even then, once you get closer to Oscar season, they hopefully, pop, they put back out a couple of good
Yeah.
movies. So I definitely watch it when it's out on video. But yeah, I think it looks good. I think Gandolfini, I don't even know if he's done anything
I'm sure he
recently.
has, but just not anything. Well, not, yeah, recently, I don't know, but since Sopranos has been off, I think he's done maybe one or two movies,
And
if
I
I
think
can
it gets you a
remember.
little excited because it looks like he's kind of back playing a big old, sweaty gangster, which obviously by his body type he was born to play.
All right, so we're probably, what would you say, 2/3 of the way through this season? Half? I don't know.
Of The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
What are we on? Well, don't they usually stop the season? Don't they have like a mid-season break,
Yeah,
like
I
they do
think
six
so. I
episodes?
think they've had like seven, maybe.
Oh, okay, so maybe they didn't. I'm gonna bring it up really quick and just kind of see how far along we are.
Okay.
This is completely unrelated. I forgot to tell our friend Juice happy birthday the other day. I didn't write on his Facebook wall. I know he listens to every episode intently,
Oh yeah.
but I love him. Happy birthday to Juice. Did you do anything? Did you call him or text him?
I put something on Facebook, and I always, when it's a friend like that, I always try and put some little like snappy, funny message too with it. So I did something like that.
Was it appropriate?
Maybe.
But so anyway, happy birthday, Juice. So yeah, we're on season three, more than half, I say we're more than halfway through, however they end up, you know, breaking things down. But what do you want to do? Just kind of give general impressions? Are there some highlights or lowlights? Overall feeling? You know, what do you...
Overall, I'd say just start it out overall. Overall, I've enjoyed it. I think it's been a pretty good season. It's a lot more action and movement. Definitely the parallel storyline has helped. That was something last season, I think, more than anything. I think people could have forgot how little there was going on at the farm and in the traffic jam if there was another story we were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that last season, they would have had to introduce whole new characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is this season, you know, Andrea got split up from the group, so let's see what's going on with her.
Yeah.
And that's how that kind of came about. And now we're starting to see those two come back together a little bit. So
yeah, now they're finally... six episodes. We just watched the sixth episode. So yeah, we're seeing these two because there's the Gov... And I think you have to pronounce it Govna, right?
Hello, Govna. I know, no one said that yet. And all it would take is Rick to break out a character when he first sees him.
He has a British... And Rick in real life is actually British. So
oh, yeah.
He'd be perfect. Hello, Govna. But so you have the whole governor storyline with Woodbury.
Yep.
Which, you know, I guess that's a cool name. And then, you know, Rick and the group are still kind of bouncing around the prism. I do kind of feel like from the second season now to this season, it's almost like the writers, the showrunners have just blatantly catered to a lot of the griping that the fans were giving.
Yeah,
which
I would say so.
Rightfully, you know, some of it justified. You know, last season, what were kind of the main things that irked everyone? There wasn't enough killing.
Right.
We're stuck in the same place.
There was no sense of danger for a lot of the episodes.
Lori's kind of a whiny biatch, and Herschel's hair is too short. Like, those were the main four gripes that people had on season two. So now what do we have? You know, we have a couple different locations, a lot more going on. We have tons of zombie killing.
Tons of
zombie killing. Lori has... Lori's no longer with us, and they definitely didn't do it in a very... what's the word I'm looking for? Subtle fashion.
Oh, no. It was very bloody.
Yeah, and Herschel has a ponytail now. So yep. Everything that people were upset about... here you go. You know, okay, you're mad at this? You want more zombie killing? Here you go. So I kind of feel there's an element of that to it. And while we're talking about Homeland, Homeland is an example of a show then that is so supremely confident in what it's doing.
Right.
That never crosses your mind. And there's a part when you kind of catch up on the second season, maybe three episodes in, like there's a third episode, and this won't ruin anything, but I kind of start to say to my wife, I'm like, okay, all right, I see what they're doing now. Okay, so here it's going to, all right, here's Virgil. Okay,
yeah.
I kind of see where this is going. And then the fourth episode blows everything that I had expected to happen straight out of the water.
Right.
In a really cool, like when I started to see what was happening, I'm like, oh, all right, I'm like, this is pretty sweet. So I think there's a big difference, and I think we can admit there's a difference between how good of a show Homeland is
and what
The Walking Dead is. So I think that's a part of it. I don't know if I really wanted all my concerns to be catered to. I wanted you to do something better that exceeded my expectations, not just gave me what I, you know, or others complained about. So that's my general look at this season so far.
Yeah, like I said, it's been a lot better, but there is a lot of times you see stuff and it's just like, really? Like when the dog gets bit and how it follows.
I had to think for a second.
And
wait,
then
they had a pet.
This whole series, I think everyone, you know, maybe because of horror movie stereotypes, probably, we've kind of always thought, okay, T-Dog's gonna go. And the reason why I feel that way is because for two seasons and four episodes, he was basically scenery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out after he's dead that, oh, he was the greatest. He used to drive old women to church who couldn't get out of their houses.
Drove the church bus.
He was at the soup kitchen feeding people, picking up litter. You know, started. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but
right.
We have like, it's like the writers like, well, T-Dog's dead. We killed him. Let's write in 5 lines just so everyone knows that his death is really gonna hurt people. Mm-hmm. Everyone really loved him.
Guy.
He was such a great guy. Right. It's like, well, we didn't get that at all the whole time, except for maybe that episode when it happens,
mm-hmm.
when they're trying to send the inmates out, and he's like, why don't we just give him a chance? You know what I mean? He's the kind of the one, let's forgive him. Let's just let him be with us. You took us in. We didn't deserve it and all that, you know.
Suddenly T-Dog's the voice of reason and sympathy, and yeah. He never gotten that from.
Right. Well, we didn't know anything about him other than he's this African-American guy who got punched by Merle, and that's it.
Yeah.
He's basically just been kind of coasting along, doing his part. You know, he's chipping in and helping out, but other than that, we don't really know anything.
And Merle's a good example of just how I couldn't really explain at the time, but I was so excited for Merle to come back. And even that now, though, has just been average.
Yeah.
You didn't really give me anything more. It's just all of a sudden, you know, Merle's now part of the Govna's group. He's, you know, pretty much a psycho who, you know, loves killing zombies. Oh, okay, yeah, we couldn't have seen that coming. You know, I would have liked, and there's still time for things to get, you know, fleshed out a little bit. But even give him like a couple other cool little, you know, on his nub there, give him a couple more cool things that can flip up, more like a Swiss Army knife. You know, like I want to see, like he has the knife, but then when he's, you know, eating his beans, I want to see like a spoon flip up. You know, I want to see him have like a spoon and a fork on there too.
That has been, I think, a problem with the show. And Andy Greenwald on Grantland has pointed it out. He's pointed it out a lot with Michonne. You know, for how many episodes was she basically just trailing behind Andrea and the governor, scowling,
mm-hmm.
you know, frowning and looking angry. It's like, okay, we still know nothing about her other than she's a badass with her sword.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one slice, your head's gone or whatever. She's a survivor. We know that, but it's like, well, we know that basically if we saw anybody on this show in season 3 at this time, you know, which in the story maybe a year and a half after we first started the series, mm-hmm. we would assume that with anyone carrying around a sword who's still alive,
they at least know how to handle themselves a little bit. There's still time, you know, we're about halfway
right
through the season.
Well, like I said, it's a lot better than I would say. You know, I can't really remember season 1 that well. I don't know if this is better, but this is more on par with what, you know, season 1 showed us.
Right. I really liked season 1.
Keep in mind, too, season 1 was 6 episodes.
I feel there were the moment in season 2. I think the first half of season 2, I think I liked. I think I was happy up to that point, because you remember that ended, the first half of season 2 ended with the little girl that they've been searching for stumbling out of the barn.
Right.
And Rick had to do his thing with a .44 Magnum that, I mean, would make Dirty Harry's gun look like it. Do you see that thing that he carries around?
Yeah, I know.
You know? I think they lost their way then the second half of the second season.
Even that's the first half, though, was pretty,
I didn't mind it.
Okay, let's meet up at the car. You guys go this way, look for that. You go that way, look for that, and then come back. And every once in a while, it's like, oh, let's have a zombie stumble by. They can shoot him in the head.
Yep.
So even the first half of season 2 was kind of,
I think it led up
slow.
It was slow, but I think it led up to a moment that when I look at the show now, aside from maybe the first episode when Rick's just, you know, stumble around and discovers what the world is, the moment when the little girl came out of the barn is maybe one of the signature moments I look at. I think of when I think of the show. It's like when I step back and take a look at it, man, that's, I gasped, you know, like that was just that was a rough scene, everything to watch. So I feel the first half kind of built up to that moment. Mm-hmm. But then any momentum from that, you're right, like they should have just left. then after that, okay, let's leave the barn,
right?
And you could basically started where we're at in season three right now, halfway through season two. So
I think they thought that the audience was going to be more interested in the love triangle last season than just, you know, how dangerous this world is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you know, we're still. You're right. It's changed enough. I think there's the opportunity to really do something interesting between Rick and the governor.
Right.
And there's a lot
of... Well, I think we all see that standoff coming.
Yeah. There's a lot of fresh meat in that Woodbury ripe for the devouring, you
right.
know?
And then also a couple weeks ago when I gave my slap and tickle to Merle, you mentioned about how he and Daryl we've never really
yep.
seen them on screen except for Daryl's dream sequence.
Yep.
We've never seen them together.
So we have that coming.
We hear Merle asking these questions about him, but at the same time, it doesn't really sound like he's concerned. You know, it doesn't sound like he's, you know, first off, he didn't think Daryl would be alive. He didn't think he'd mm-hmm. still be surviving. So maybe there's a little bit there that, you know, what he thinks. And obviously we saw in the dream sequence that he's kind of obnoxiously always motivating him.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a big brother, little brother. Well, you know, your brother, you know, beat the hell out of you for your whole childhood and verbally and physically abused you.
Right. Until I got big. See him do it now.
You are bigger than him.
But, yeah, so I'm still, you know, there's no way at all or anything I'm abandoning this show. We did our podcast on Entourage, you know. There were seasons of that where just
mm-hmm.
terrible, but you had to see it through. So even though, you know, Boardwalk Empire, who knows, I just kind of fell off, but I'm going to stick with this show, obviously. And like I said, I've enjoyed season three. It's been fun. So
mm-hmm.
I think that what is a big problem with the show, though, is that there's a lot of people who watch it who don't really care about good acting or bad acting, or can't really point it out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care about an interesting story or continuity with the story or something makes sense. They're just like, you know, you're at run-of-the-mill primetime TV audience.
Or more of a horror. I think a lot of horror fans, because I'll be honest, I'm not really a horror fan movies or any of the, now it's all just kind of like gore porn, you know, just
yeah.
some of the nasty stuff. I don't really like the paranormal. I've never really seen any of the paranormal activities. I don't really like
no.
the stuff that are purely built around just making you, you know, jump or, you know, urinate in your pants. I enjoy the horror movies that I enjoy are some of the classic ones just because they started the genre. You know, I like the Scream movies because of their play on how they're making fun of
right.
the standard horror movie. So I do think a lot of horror fans, you know, more, I think the people out there, they're big zombie fans. I mean, I enjoy zombies.
Right.
But,
I like zombie movies a lot, but
right. Those
I
are
need,
good.
I need something. You know what I mean?
Right. I think we're,
I need a, I need a different take on it.
Maybe it's our expectations too, you know, 'cause here we sandwich, you know, we watch Homeland, you were watching Breaking Bad, you know, I sprinkle in a Mad Men episode every now and then, you know, we have expectations built up by shows like that. By the,
right.
you
well,
know,
I
the,
mean,
the
I one. Have a lot of friends and stuff on Facebook, or you hear a lot of people talking, there's like, Walking Dead, best show on TV, it's so awesome. I just want to be like,
yeah.
dude, either you don't watch Mad Men and Game of Thrones and all these other shows and Homeland, or, you know, this is what you really want from a show.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
what Walking Dead gives you. If you do, that's fine. Then you probably also really want what Jersey Shore gives you. So,
so
have you had any other really big high moments this season of Walking Dead, or not really? What's kind of been your favorite, you know, moment or something that sticks out to you as the big moment this season?
When they first found the other inmates, right at the end when Herschel got his leg bit, at
okay.
the end of that episode, and then you see the other inmates, because it was because even then at that point, you know, we hadn't seen the Governor Woodbury yet, so
right.
it was just still all the same people, and so at that moment when you see the other inmates behind the window, it's like, holy God, some new people. You know, I know something's gonna go crazy. Half of them are probably gonna die. I don't think there's too many Emmy nominations standing behind that window when we see these new inmates. But it's just like, finally, someone new, something to change it up. You know, I barely know any of these other. We still barely know half the people of the regular group of characters.
Right.
You know, just like you pointed out with T-Dog. But at that point, it's like, okay, finally this world's going to open up a little bit. We're going to see some new people. There's going to be the opportunity for some different storylines. I don't think they've maximized it at all so far. You know, now we just kind of have.
Doesn't it seem like that? I think there's only one inmate that's still sticking around, right? The big black guy that the Oscar, is that his name?
I heard people online were calling him T-Dog.
Yeah, I know.
which is awful. But.
I would like to find out why he's in prison. I don't know if they ever addressed that I can remember. Because obviously,
if they did.
It's probably going to shake things. It could shake things up.
Uh-huh.
You know, you never know. So,
that was really it. You know, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I guess we're. The scene where the governor had them heads in the bottles. It's like, all right, what do we.
The walking daughter.
The walking
daughter. What a lazy hashtag.
One-legged Herschel.
Well, I like one-legged Herschel and Lorian Labor. And then he's like, let's just go with the walking daughter for this one.
I think that gives us, you're right. If you're going to make this show happen, bring it back home, land. We're going to need to get some hashtags. We're going to need to get some good hashtags going.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm excited.
Were you surprised at all when they went to the National Guard and that they shot them up and killed everybody? Or did you kind of see that coming?
I think it was just kind of, I wouldn't say I saw it coming. I think it was just kind of, not lazy, but... An easy little thing to,
right?
Okay, so what are we supposed to think the governor is? Okay, is he cold-blooded killer?
I know. I think that's when they're like, all right, well, let's just get it out there and show that he's this dictator with
bad
intentions.
Yeah, he's clouding her. He's basing it all upon keeping his city safe. This is his justifying doing horrible things. I think it's interesting that he has, a little nerd kind of with a little laboratory working on what's going on. Maybe why is this really happening? I think that is something I'd like to see, built on a little bit more, but who knows if they will. It'll end on some, Rick versus the governor in the UFC zombie pit.
Right. Yeah. I know.
That's what this is building to. But, you're right. There will be people that are
maybe Daryl versus Merle.
In the zombie, the zombie arena.
I thought that was a pretty interesting scene, actually. The the Mad Max Thunderdome of walkers.
Zombies with Merle doing, weird karate kicks. I don't know if Merle... I think Michael Rooker pulled his groin if he actually pulled off some of those moves that they...
Well, no, remember we talked about him in Mallrats and in the beginning when the towel falls off, before it falls off and exposes his bare ass, he's doing all these shadow boxing and kicks and stuff.
That's right.
I think Michael Rooker looks like a guy who keeps himself in pretty good shape. I don't think I'd want to run into him in a dark alley. He seems like he can mess you up.
Still, put a little flashlight that flips up, a little fork that flips up.
So you basically think it should be like a Swiss Army nub.
Yes. Yes, Swiss Army.
Swiss Army nub.
Hey, there's a
hashtag. Good hashtag. I'm going to tweet that one to Hardwick.
Yeah, there we go.
What is that on Merle's hand this week? This guy's got a Swiss Army nub. That's the hashtag we're going to discuss on Talking Dead.
Patton Oswalt will take it and run with it. Patton probably has about five different ideas that could be flipped up on their magnifying glass.
You're talking about the same Patton Oswalt who tweeted out that he was going to do an episode of Burn Notice, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. I don't know if I did ever tell you that. So,
is there another Patton
Oswalt? Just add another one to the list, Great people on this show who are not the lead actor or lead actress.
I know. Like I said, It'll be one of the greatest missed opportunities in television history is when cinephiles look back, or TV files, or whoever the hardcore TV people are, when they look back on the great supporting actors that were a part. People will be like, wait a minute, you're telling me that 100 years ago there was a show that had Bruce Campbell, John C. McGinley, Patton
Right.
Oswalt, Method Man, and Richard Schiff all in it, and no one watched it?
And Patton Oswalt? Come on.
It's like, why? It'll be one of the great mysteries of TV history, is why this wasn't ever the greatest television show of all time. Oh wait, the leading characters. So
So, do we want to maybe do any sort of bold predictions for Walking Dead? Maybe who's gonna die? Cause we're only halfway through. It's inevitable a couple main characters are gonna die. Maybe do we think any original group members are gonna eat it?
I think at least one more. Yeah,
Okay.
we'll have to lose someone. I mean, I can't imagine Herschel making it too much
That's
farther
what I'm
on the
thinking.
crutches.
I kind of was hoping he would just the whole Rick's little surgery job wouldn't work because it doesn't seem. First off, it seems like that's something people would have tried by now. And I don't know. It seems like they've tried that in other movies and it never works, if I can remember correctly. So maybe I'm just going off that, but I thought that was kind of like, ooh, let's take this chance to have Rick hatchet this freaking leg off and
Something needs to happen with that baby. I mean,
right.
you can't. I mean, are we really going to be carrying this baby around
Oh, I know.
for three, four more seasons, or however longer the show goes? I mean, I'm not advocating that the baby gets killed off or something, but there needs to be some kind of weird, like at the last moment, a National Guard chopper comes in and they have a safe haven, but Rick's only able to give the baby to the National Guard and it'll be safe, but we need to go. We can't be. What is he going to be? Just Pocahontas,
Right.
Indian baby wrap, the baby wrapped around his chest, walking around for three more seasons. I definitely think we're going to lose at least, one more main character. I think they're really trying to build up this emotional connection with Maggie and Glenn, so maybe we're going to lose one of them. I think either the governor or Merle is going to have to eat it, in a climactic,
Right.
battle for Woodbury at the end of this season.
I'm almost positive there's going to be a big emotional moment where Daryl has to kill Merle, where he makes the decision that he has to do it, and he ends up putting an arrow through Merle's head and
He's the one to do it.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Merle, you will be missed.
But it'd be something crazy where Merle would take like an arrow right through the eye, but would still like stumble
Come
forward.
here! Think that's gonna stop me, boy?
Snap it in half, like how they always, remove an arrow, just snap it in half, and somehow that's the right thing to do, and
Yeah.
like stumbles forward. Or zombie Merle. Yeah, give us zombie Merle, for at least a little bit. But what do you see happen?
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I agree with you a lot. I think there's going to be a big thing where the governor won't want him in Woodbury, and Rick's, we got a baby. We got a baby, man. In his big, emotional, intense voice.
I did like how Greenwald said you can tell the level of Rick's insanity by how much grime he has on him.
Right.
He was like really crying and his hair was all in his face.
Oh God, Carl, no! So, I was just like, where did this come from? Rick Grimes doesn't cry like that. Ah!
Then all of a sudden he comes walking out, like almost freshly shaven, face washed.
Yeah, I
Hand me
know.
my baby, and
Right.
all of a sudden he's a caring father.
But so that's all I got. We gotta wrap her up here. Anything else you wanted to throw in there?
No, dude, let's wrap it up, B.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed our Walking Dead discussion. Don't forget to get them online petitions going to Showtime, bringing it home, Land,
And
starring Tim Barnum, and maybe Colin can be like my Andy Richter.
thanks.
And follow us on Twitter at Worst Friends Pod, like us on Facebook, and just remember we are no longer on Podbean. I destroyed my account because I want to be able to record these podcasts and actually post them. So we're back at the old website, worstfriendspodcast.blogspot.com. Of course, you're following us on Twitter and Facebook. You can just click the link and listen. Thanks for tuning in. you guys
Sheed.
You guys take her sleazy.
Sheed.